Okay, this morning we'll be in Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll look at it and see what the truth is. How's that? I'm going to read it first. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever does make manifest is light. Therefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding that the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always for the things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so that the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverences her husband. There's a whole bunch of controversy in this through a lot of preaching that doesn't make any sense, because he told you what the mystery was. What was the mystery he was talking about? Do you really think he was talking about our actual lives, or was he talking about the church? That's right. And we got to realize and see that the relationship we should have with Christ should be parallel in our lives with our spouses, shouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Go back to the first verse. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Of course, we know those translations, most of them are wrong, and we'll try to sort this out as we go through. It should say, become therefore not followers, but imitators. Should say, become imitators of God as dear, and should say it's as dear children. It should say as his beloved son. Okay? We should be, and what he's really saying is, be an imitator of Christ as Christ was an imitator of his father. Okay? That's what he's saying. So we're supposed to imitate Christ. Does that make sense? Okay. It's really simple, but they try to mess it up with all their translational errors. In verse 2 it says, and walk in love. When we say that word walk, what are we really saying? It's the way, it's our course of life. It's the way we live. So walk our course of life or live in love. If we live in love, how's the world going to be?
Lovely.
It's going to be a lovely place. Does that change the fact that there's going to be a lot of negatives running around?
Nope.
No, but you can see the negatives and see the purpose of them. See, you can accept them because it's God sent. The world and the church that preaches about this devil who's doing everything don't have a clue that God created everything that has ever been created. So there's nothing on this world that's ever been created, whether it's spirit, whether it's a demon, whether whatever they want to call it, that God didn't create. The devil isn't a creator, is he? Their devil that they believe in, that I don't believe in. Okay. We can play with that all day and I'm not going to waste my time. We got better things to talk about. But anyway, and live in the love as Christ also has loved us and has given or has delivered himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So see, the sacrifice that he gave was the last sacrifice that there ever has to be. I don't have to sacrifice myself. You don't have to sacrifice yourself. The thing now that God wants from us is our obedience. He already told us what he wants us to do. He told us how he wants us to live. He said all the commandments hinge on these two things. Love the Lord to God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. You fulfill these two, you fulfill all the law and the prophets. Every bit of them. Imagine that. It's that simple, but it didn't say easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. But that's how simple it is to love everybody. In spite of how bad they treat you. See, it shouldn't have anything to do with it. Doesn't mean you have to hug everybody's neck, kiss them every day just because you know they've done something bad to you. You don't have to be around them all day, do you? Nothing says you have to put up with that. Just get away from it. Go on and live your life. Go ahead and help somebody that wants help. They don't want no help, leave them alone. Let them live in their misery. Just let them stay there if that's what they want to do.
Don't let yourself get all wrapped up in that.
Don't get caught up in the affairs of the world. Let it go. But verse 3 says, but fornication, and that literally is idolatry or unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness and uncleanness, that's moral impurity, okay? And covetousness, which is a greed or a desire to have more, never satisfied, always want more and more and more and more and more. The world's full of it today. People that are millionaires. I just heard a thing just recently, Warren Buffett and Microsoft guy. Bill Gates started a club for billionaires. But to join this club, you have to give away, first of all, you have to be a billionaire. And then you have to be able to join the club, you have to sign paperwork, legal paperwork, binding you to give away half of your wealth.
I could do that and still live comfortably.
Well, couldn't spend all the money you made anyway. But, I mean, that's what they do. And so these people that have had everything else, money doesn't mean anything. I mean, money in the bank can do you no good. If I can't utilize it from day to day, what's the purpose of it? If there's something that I want in my life, how many people know how many days you got left?
No.
Well then, if today might be the last one, like the old songs they sing, live like you're dying, you know, if you lived that way, you would have a happy life. But everybody is trying to save up something. The world has gotten into our thinking process. You've got to save, like all these corporations at investment companies. Well, I would have plenty of money if I didn't give them all my money to invest it for me.
Well, you know, they also forget half the time it's not invested properly.
You lose and they don't get fined anything.
How many of them through your company you invested in and then the company embezzled it and you have nothing?
That's right. Let me take my money and I'll take care of it. And if I fall on my face, then so be it. But I don't need to pay somebody. These people put out there and they become millionaires investing everybody else's money. Where'd they get that money? They got it out of your pocket. See, you take all the money they take from you, and that's enough to retire on. But see, you're giving enough money for that family to retire, plus the corporation to make money, and still for you. So don't you think maybe if you use your head, you could do it yourself? I think you can take care of your own. If you're serving God, right, God's not going to let you. Trust God in you to get it done right. You know, don't be trying to be stupid about anything, but man, letting everybody else have full control of your money, that just don't make sense to me. I'm going to use it myself, and if it's gone, it's gone. If it's not, if it's there, it's there, and that's the way it'll be. I live peaceful in that. But anyway, the covetousness, that greed, never having enough, let it not be once named or mentioned among you as proper or conspicuous. Don't let it be obvious that you've got those issues, you know, amongst, as a saint. We shouldn't be that way, should we? Money should not be our issue. We shouldn't be tight about things. We should be able to spend whatever we need. If it comes to that point, so what? If God, remember the old widow that said she was going to die? She only had enough meal to fix and oil to fix enough for a cake for her and her son in the Old Testament, and then she was going to eat it, and we were going to eat it and go over and die. And the prophet come along and said, hey, bake me one first. Everything will be all right. Well, she trusted him. She baked the cake, and during that famine, her barrel of flour never went empty, and the oil cruse never went dry for the rest of the famine. See? She trusted God. Just trust God. It'll be okay. Did it say everything's going to be easy? No, but it will work out. It'll be okay. In the end, it'll all work out. But people want to trust in that bank account. If I had a big bank account full of money, all I would do would sit and say, boy, I got a lot of money. And I got to stay up at night and think, I got to sit up at night and think, wonder if anybody hacked into my account and got my money. I don't have to worry. Anybody waste their time hacking into my bank account's an idiot. They might have to pay somebody even to get into it. Put some money in it so they could steal it. They go in a hole hacking my account. I don't care. Hey, it's not about how much money you've got. I've got wealth they don't know anything about. I've got a peace of mind. I can lay down and sleep in the midst of anything, and it don't make any difference.
What's your account number?
Huh?
What's your account?
My account number on that is, I have to think about that number.
It's all God.
It's all God, every bit of it.
What's the password?
God. Love, that's a good one.
Love, yeah.
Okay, verse 4 says, neither filthiness, and that word filthiness is obscenity, nor silly talking, that's vulgar talking, nor jesting, or the word jesting should be vulgarities, which are not convenient or proper, but rather give thanks or gratitude to God as an act of worship. Okay. Give gratitude to God as an act of worship. Because this you know, that no whoremonger, and that's a morally unfaithful person. It's not talking about the sexual act necessarily. It's talking about not being faithful in your mind. Or unclean is morally impure. All right, I got to turn the page to get the rest of it. Nor covetous man, that's someone that's eager for gain, someone that's willing to defraud somebody just to get the money. Plenty of them out there, aren't there? Plenty of them. Who is an idolater? And see, anybody that's covetousness is an idolater.
They worship money.
They worship the money. That's their idol. That's their God. Has any inheritance in the kingdom of the Christ and of the God of God? So they don't have any important. They don't have no part in it. What did he tell? What did he tell Judas when he betrayed him? You have no, oh no, that was the, in the book of Acts said you have no part when he tried to buy, in Acts, he tried to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said you have no part or lot in this matter.
Was that Agrippa?
No. Acts 19. Where's that? Simon.
Yeah.
Simon. But he said, you have no part. He tried to give money to buy it, and he said, you have no part or lot in this matter. This, and that word matter there is logos. It's the word.
Like merchandise.
Sure he did, and that's what and that's immediately what most of the church is doing. They're merchandising the truth. It's not about money. It's about the truth. And if you think it's money, do you really think you're going to get anywhere, that you can buy your way in? And all the rich people are going to make it, and all the poor people ain't going to anyway, if you think that way. God's not interested in money. God wants to know if you love Him above everything else on this earth.
I don't think you can merchandise the truth, because what you merchandise would be tainted.
It wouldn't. They wouldn't even be able to understand it.
Yeah. That's an oxymoron.
It is, but they think they can, see, in their perverted thought process.
They'll say stuff like, well, that's the way the world works. You got to, you know.
And I'd say, absolutely, that's the way the world works.
But they don't even realize they're telling themselves.
No. Okay, verse 6, he says, let no man deceive you with vain words. And what that word vain literally means, it means words devoid of truth. Just like we heard this morning, that man talking about all that stuff about the devil and hell and all this stuff and torment and craziness that that preacher was talking about. Yeah, he was nuts. He doesn't know anything. He's ignorant. He's walking in darkness, and he's trying to tell people how to live their lives, and he can't live his own. Because I personally have met the man, and I know a lot of things about him that's hidden that he wouldn't want everybody to know about.
Okay? He's a baby leader.
Yeah. But see, it's not my place to go out and try to beat up all these ignorant people. And